everybody. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Bethany.
And this is another eerie episode on That One Show with the Newmans.
Today we are going to be diving into one of the most iconic folklores of all time, and that is vampires.
Vampires! Woo! Spooky.
So the folklore that we're going to be looking into today is the European and North American folklore. That's where a lot of different movies, books, screenplays, you name it, they have derived from. With the European folklore, skin was dark, they didn't have fangs, the reflections in the shadow varied from person to person.
Yeah, I actually did some research on the reflection portion myself, and you know, they had a lot of different types of ways that they handled the reflections. Apparently, back in the day, whenever the vampires were a big thing, people would actually hang mirrors facing outwards from their doors.
So what was the reason of them hanging out these mirrors for the vampires?
Well, the main thing for the mirrors, it was really kind of a deterrence for the vampires, because once the vampire would cross in front of the mirror, if they didn't see the reflection, then, hey, it's a vampire. Stake him.
Okay, so it was more of a defense mechanism. The vampires are just going to magically disappear if they see a mirror, but they're going to know that the vampire's coming.
Exactly. And my assumption based on that, as far as the deterrent portion goes, is that, you know, if a vampire sees a mirror on the door, they're probably not going to go up to the door for the chances of being found out.
Because vampires had to have permission to enter a home, correct?
Yeah, that was actually a very common belief with all the cultures, folklores, is they had to ask permission to enter one's home. However, if they asked once and they were given that permission once, then they can come and go as they please. So what are some of the differences as far as the North American folklore goes?
Oh my goodness. So the North American folklore varies on skin.
So some was probably dark color, some was light color, some was in between.
Correct.
Okay.
Some were just like your average person. Fangs were retractable.
Okay, yeah, I've seen some movies and some TV shows with the retractable fangs.
Yes.
That's
now,
creepy.
It is super creepy. Now, one of the biggest differences between the European and the North American folklore is that the North American folklore, they believed in reflections and shadows.
So no mirrors.
No mirrors. No mirrors, because those aren't going to do you any bit of good.
Well, I think that goes against the feng shui of a house to have mirrors on your doors anyways.
I believe so. I believe so. I'm an avid reader in feng shui, but I don't remember seeing anything about, hey, what? You should hang some mirrors on your front door.
Right. I know it's a bad thing in the bedroom or something.
Yes.
I think. So, hey, that's all I know about, because that's all you've said about it. So.
Yep. It's not necessarily that they're bad in the bedroom. It's that they're bad facing the bed.
Oh, okay.
In the bedroom.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not supposed to wake up and see your reflection.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to wake up and see my own reflection.
It's not good for the brain, I guess.
I wonder why.
That's the issue. Now, since we've brought up huge differences between, you know, the North American and the European folklore, I kind of want to dive into one of the legends of making vampires famous, and that is Bram Stoker.
Bram Stoker himself. That's the guy that made Count Dracula, right?
Correct. Dracula.
I was thinking Count Chocula. And
hey,
then
that's a completely different version of Dracula, too.
I meant to say Dracula, but it came out as Jocula.
But I only get Count Chocula once a year, so, you know. But I digress. So, Bram Stoker's Dracula was pale, had fangs, no reflection, no shadows, which is something that he took from the European folklore, which I think is really cool that in his adaptation of the lore, he did use that they had no shadows
and no
reflections. Now, speaking of the shadows and reflections, did you ever find anything about why they didn't have shadows or reflections?
Yeah, actually, one of the most common theories was that they didn't have reflections or shadows because they were believed to not have a soul.
So I wonder if he took that lore and used it to make them more monster-like in the movie. Like, if that was to make Dracula more creepy and scary because he didn't have a soul, which is why he didn't have a reflection or a shadow.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, there's some popular scenes in what I've seen of the Count Dracula where he goes in front of a mirror and he's not there. And it's like a very big thing that they made sure to emphasize, hey, I'm in front of a mirror if you don't see me. So, I mean, it seems pretty iconic of the Count Chocula again.
You're thinking about that Halloween cereal.
Man, I guess I want me some Count Chocula. This is not sponsored by Count Chocula.
But I would be totally okay if we could get a sponsorship with Count Chocula.
Lifetime supply! Boom!
Oh my gosh, I would be in heaven. But another thing about Bram Stoker's Dracula is the looks varied on the blood that was drank. So elderly, frail, gray hair, or dapper and handsome. Just based on the blood. Now, in death, they would turn to dust, which was something that you didn't see in any of the folklore that we looked at, was what happened when the vampires died.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks just run off of assumption. You know, there is some stuff that I had found in research that I think it was a European folklore that I had found this. What they would do is they would stake the vampire, and the vampire, would essentially kind of deflate from a healthy looking body into a skinny, frail looking body. That was just one of the things that they said would happen. So, you know, I'll go into that a little bit more in detail later.
Now, hearing you say that and just kind of checking my notes and stuff, Bram Stoker said that Dracula would vary in looks based on the blood he drank. So I'm wondering, too, if maybe that also derived from the folklore that you were just talking about the healthy-looking body to the not-so-healthy-looking body.
Right, yeah. And he may have derived that as, you know, between, I guess, beatings, so to speak, that, you know, as he was hungrier, he'd probably look older and more frail. And as he was fuller, then obviously he would look healthy and handsome and stunning.
Mm-hmm. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting the way that they implement the new, or not the new, but the old folklore into the new entertainment, like books and movies and TV shows.
Well, I agree. I definitely think it's kind of weird how some, in my personal opinion, how some movies have adapted to vampires.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of different types of vampires out there. Like Twilight, for example, is a complete different set of vampires versus Count Dracula. I said it right that time. Did you hear that?
I did.
Did everybody else hear that? That was pretty good, wasn't it? Give me a high five. We made that loud enough so y'all could hear that.
High five. But no, with Twilight, I mean, those are, I will say, I think we picked two different ends of the spectrum here with the newer shows and movies. We picked two, and one stays, I think, for the most part, pretty true to lore, where the other, I feel like, goes way off the scale of lore.
Right. Yeah, see, like, with Twilight, you know, the skin is very pale and harder than diamonds, and it sparkles. I have not seen that in any bit of lore, which I haven't researched all kinds. I mean, maybe it's out there. It probably is out there somewhere.
You really think that scary vampires are going to sparkle?
Maybe not so much the sparkle.
Sparkle, part. Sparkle?
you know, I don't know what happened. They're like, they came up with the harder than diamonds thing. So they're like, oh, well, if it's harder than diamonds, then it needs to sparkle like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
I mean, I would love to know why. And I think because Twilight was more of that romantic.
It's sex appeal.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Edward was sexy and attractive. Like, I mean, I maybe.
No
and
comment
maybe,
on that. I don't think he was very
well,
sexy
like,
myself.
Well, the women were even, okay. Like, you know, those, you know, really beautiful and.
Right, right. And what would make him even more beautiful to the women? Sparkly skin.
You know, I mean, so, and maybe that's why that kind of went way off the radar for folklore, because it was a completely different adaptation of vampires, and they were shed in a completely new light.
Like the fangs, for example. I from what I can recall, which I have watched them, regrettably, which I have watched them, embarrassingly, I don't remember fangs. I mean, I think I remember maybe one or two having, you know, some pointier canine teeth. I mean, I don't know if that was necessarily fangs.
But they were almost like just normal canine teeth.
Just. Yeah, just pointier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if they did have the fangs, I'd say they were pretty subtle. It's been years since I've watched it, though. Mm-hmm. But that, I mean, that goes to show you the variance in the adaptations of, you know, the different parts of a vampire.
And they had reflections, shadows, they were super attractive, which we, you know, touched on that.
Clearly.
And and with their death, they would turn into corpses, or they could fix themselves unless they were burnt to ash.
Man, could you imagine just, oh, I'm dead, let me just fix myself.
And that, I've noticed, was not really. Dust has been the most common thing I've seen with lore, movies, shows, even like in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they turned to dust when they got staked in the heart. I mean, that is a very common way to, I guess, kill off a vampire, is for them to just
right.
turn into dust. Now.
Well, you got to think, like, Twilight, plot twist, guess what, I can revive myself.
And that was a very big, you know, I guess, way to make vampires a little bit more cool. So they could fix themselves and come back to life.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, whenever you're targeting a younger group, too, that, I mean, that may be something that they thought into it as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm just trying not to cough and, you know.
Now, I will speak for both of us, one of our all-time favorite shows, Supernatural.
Supernatural!
Has, I personally feel, one of the best depictions of a vampire.
And I'll go ahead and get that throat clearing out of the way so you don't sit here and think I need to clear my throat. But yeah, I will second that. Based on the folklore that we've researched, the most accurate depiction, in my opinion as well, is the way that Supernatural shows the vampires. It may not be 100%, I guess, accurate, but it grabs all of the main pieces of the vampires and all the folklores and puts it together. They're very clever with how they create their vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Because they kind of mix it all together, and I mean, if you mix it all together, I guess you're gonna have a better chance of finding out what a vampire is.
Because I feel with them, they have taken fantasy and they have taken lore, which I believe are two completely different things.
I think they do a lot of lore, though. That's
mm-hmm.
that's one thing I really like about them, is they do their research at Supernatural.
They really do. Now, the vampires in Supernatural, for those who have never seen this show, they look like your everyday person. They do have fangs, but they're retractable.
Which coincides with the North American lore.
Mm-hmm. They do have reflections and shadows, which I believe also goes with North American lore.
Yeah.
And, I mean, their attractiveness, I guess, depends on the person who sees the vampire.
I mean, ultimately, the attractiveness, I mean, the vampires, the way that they do it on there is they change people, and the people don't change negatively, they just get fangs. I mean, so it depends on the person, like you said, you know.
Well, they do change negatively, because in the show it's very painful and it's not fun.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm talking about appearance-wise over here. So okay. Pretty much if you change an ugly person to be a vampire, they're going to be an ugly vampire. Okay. If you change a hot-looking person to a vampire, they're going to be a hot-looking vampire.
I mean, that's true. That's very true. And in Supernatural, upon death, they turn into a corpse. Just like your normal person, but they have to be killed by beheading.
Yes.
In Supernatural, it's kind of how they've done that.
Yeah, the beheading is really the only way, unless you got the cult.
Yes, that'll kill anything.
Yeah, the cult kills anything.
But you guys have to watch the show to understand what we're talking about
exactly.
The cult.
Exactly. But yeah, beheading is the method of death for the vampires in the lore of Supernatural.
So this is definitely probably going to be one of our shorter episodes, but we wanted to kind of touch on folklore and now.
Yeah, what's in the entertainment industry? Mm-hmm. What's being flaunted out there for us? Now, what do you think about vampires?
What do I think about vampires?
Yeah, do you believe in vampires?
I do not believe in vampires. I just, for me, it's, I guess, one of those things that in my head is too far-fetched to be a thing, kind of like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster,
right.
Which I'm sure we'll talk about those at some point in time.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I'm sure there will be differing opinions in some of those conversations.
I was actually, before I started researching vampires, I was actually researching Bigfoot a little bit.
Were you?
Yeah, I'm pondering it. We'll probably hit it up.
Well, we might.
Now, as far as what I, let me give you my viewpoint on vampires.
Yes, because you actually did have some really good points earlier when we were kind of talking about it, for sure.
Yeah, the way I look at the vampires is I think, quite honestly, that it's all just a huge misunderstanding from lack of knowledge on how things work in life. What I mean by that is you got to think. Vampire lore dates way, way back. I mean, a long, long time, centuries ago. So, what was it? What was different between now and then? Well, I'll tell you. Knowledge. You know, we didn't know a lot about the human body. So, what would happen is they would have somebody that becomes deceased. And I'm not exactly sure how they figured this out. I don't know if they just didn't bury the corpse or if they buried the corpse and then exhumed, is that the word? Exhumed? Unburied? We'll say unburied for the lack of my vocabulary.
I'm just sitting over here looking at you all confused. I wish our viewers could see my face sometimes.
Right. So anyways, they would unbury the corpse. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know how they figured it out. But what they would do is they noticed that with some of the corpses, they had one, there was one particular incident, it was a female. She had passed away for whatever circumstances, and they came back to her, and they saw that she was fuller than, you know, like, she looked healthier than when she had initially passed. You know, she was a little bit frail whenever she had passed away, but she looked healthier. They thought that was very strange, and they started to notice a few other features. You know, she had, you know, blood coming from the nose and the mouth. And that's, you know, some of the lore that they have found. So the way I look at it, scientifically speaking, and there's all kinds of different factors that can go into the decomposition of a body. You've got the climate, and you've got the soil composition as well. So, what's happened is, you know, whenever they went and saw the body, yeah, it may have looked healthier, but guess what? That's the decomposition process. Not necessarily to look healthier, but to look fuller. They would get, you know, kind of bigger and expand because of the gases with the decomposition.
Now, hello, I'm back. I was
welcome back
in my own little world over here doing some research when you had talked about burials.
It's amazing what'll get the mind to say, let me Google that.
Yeah, no, so I was off
the my FBI own little... FBI's after you.
My own little world over here. Well, I just read something that said, like, cavemen practice burial rituals in shallow graves. So, my question would be, why are people digging up these bodies? Are people, were they digging up these bodies, or did they just mysteriously become undug? Did they practice burial rituals? I mean, I have so many questions.
Well, actually, one thing that comes to mind that I had saw in my research, and also from some common knowledge of, wow, that's going to sound bad, decomposition of human bodies.
Well, that, I mean, if you've ever watched an episode of CSI, I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true, too. But, you know, based on that, here's what my theory would be as to why they were digging these people up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as part of the decomposition process, there's a buildup of gas. And that gas has got to go somewhere. And usually what it does is it'll expand the body,
mm-hmm,
and give them that fuller look like I was just talking about. And then there's other ways. There's holes in the body. And those holes create exit points for the gases to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So with these shallow graves, and this is my theory again, the gases, whenever they escape the body, sometimes they can vibrate the vocal cords, or they can go out the opposite end and create, mm-hmm, flatulence. Well, whenever the air escaping would vibrate the vocal cords, it can come out as some sort of groaning noise. So whenever they, someone's groaning underground, let's dig them up, they're not dead. And then they pull them out and they're dead still. So, I mean, there's a number of different reasons, I guess, why they could have done that, but that would be my theory on it.
And depending on how long it was or how soon it was before they dug this body back up would be, I guess, how they would see this body and determine that's a vampire.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to think, if you bury a body and it was your, we'll just say like an old lady, maybe your old cousin's grandma or something, and she went into the ground, frail and small. Then y'all heard some groaning noise one day and decided to dig her up, and then she looks like she's gained about 20 extra pounds, and then she's got blood coming from the mouth and nose. I mean, back then, they may have thought she's feeding on blood and would make an assumption. And Bethany has got her hand up. Yes.
So, and then, of course, I started researching on Google again. So I was kind of curious, is that why we started burying people in coffins? So they couldn't come back from the dead, which it said that it's mostly due to respect.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was to protect the living from, you know, if there was floods, infectious diseases, you know, and things like that. But
right,
who's to say that this didn't start because they were like, okay, we're going to keep these suckers in the ground and from coming out, and we're going to stick them in wooden coffins because if it somehow splinters, it could just stake them in the heart for us. I don't know, but I was just kind of curious on why people were buried in caskets and coffins, and now that's... Because it is a little ironic that Dracula, or a vampire, you see, like, especially, like, in cartoons and stuff, or, like, more of, I guess, the not serious shows that they sleep in coffins.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's...
So...
I'm sure they derived that from the lore one way or another. And it's funny that you mentioned that, too, because I just started thinking, you know, there's also lore about poppy seeds. And what they would do is, you know, one of the traits of the vampires, there's a scientific word, I don't know how to pronounce it, it's a big medical term, but essentially it's OCD. And that is actually one of the so-called weaknesses of the vampires in a lot of the different lores. So what people would do is they would sprinkle poppy seeds on the ground above their burial, and the reason they would do that was in hopes of the poppy seeds to fall down for the quote-unquote vampire, if it is a vampire, to be distracted. Because due to the OCD, they have to count each of those poppy seeds. That was the belief.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, we have for sure found out a lot of different things about the different lores and the way people have taken adaptations with vampires.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we love hearing all the different types of lores and people's opinions. So, you know, find us on our Facebook page and tell us what your opinion is on it. What's your thoughts on vampires? Do you believe them? If so, what are the lores that you believe? If you don't believe them, what's your theory? Why do so many people believe in vampires? Why are there vampire lores? You know, we want everybody involved in this. This is a, you know, it's a community.
Mm-hmm. And we respect everybody's, you know, different opinions and beliefs on certain things. And some people believe in lore, some people don't. Some people believe in vampires, some people don't. There's so many different things, and we love hearing everybody's different thought processes. I mean, I'm sitting over here looking up why people get buried in caskets and how deep are the graves. Like, why are they like this? I'm very...
inquisitive.
Yes, I'm very inquisitive.
Look at me with a big word.
About certain things, and I'm probably going to have somebody tracking my phone and knocking on my door later, but...
Yeah, the FBI... No, you didn't search how.
Oh, this is true.
How
I just
to
searched,
or where?
I just searched why, because I'm a curious person. So, you know, we do respect everybody's opinions and...
Judgment-free zone.
Exactly. That's how we keep our page, and we hope that everybody else keeps our page that way as well, so...
Yeah, I mean, we really appreciate everyone joining us on this podcast, though. I mean, this pretty good episode. We had a lot of fun with it. So we're going to go ahead and let you go on to the next podcast episode.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you all for joining. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Bethany.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of That One Show with the Newmans.